Okay, we talked about 3 weeks ago, we talked about how this procedure also generates in a, not in just a geometric way, but in a trigonometric way, generates a spherical field of inquiry. It's very important. As long as you're working with two dimensions, with a plane, as long as you're working with just a plane, which is a horizon, this is the ancient Egyptian term. As long as you're working with a single horizon, with a plane, then geometry is satisfactory. Okay? Do we live on two dimensions? I don't think so. Some people may live on two dimensions. It's not the real world. So that you have to move from a geometrical to a trigonometrical structuring in order to be able to envision at least nature in its true dimensions. The colloquial phrase for this in literature is that poetry must be lifted off the page. As long as the poetry is on the damn page, that's not poetry. You have to lift it off the page into the trigonometry of the reading. Then the poem is alive. And the same thing here. As long as we had Thoreau and I Ching and Origins, we had a plane. We had a geometry, like a little triangle. Very nice little triangle, very nice little triad, very nice little trinity. And most Roman minds would just savor this kind of triadic trinity and say, well, that's it. But that's a Roman flaw. They were never very good at the real. They were novices. They were third-rate, fourth-stringers when it came to spiritual understanding. You can't stay there on a flat page. That's no kind of life. The only thing that you, then your ideal becomes the right rules. And if you've got the right rules, well, then that's it, isn't it? You should live by them and be satisfied and happy. I mean, the Marxist-Leninists were Romans all over again. It's just junk, I tell you. No human being can be satisfied with that as long as they're alive. So what happens is when you add the Tao of physics and galaxies to this and you get a five-phase structure, you also have lifted yourself off the plane into a trigonometric relationship. I'm going to have to put this up here. I need four hands for this. As long as you had these three together, you had a plane. But when you added the other two, notice that the Tao of physics now is rising from the I Ching, just as galaxies is rising from origins. So that now you have a sphere rather than just a plane. You have a sphere. The progression, and we're going to take a clue from Kandinsky's understanding of Euclid. Kandinsky wrote a beautiful little book, The Great 20th Century Artists. It's translated and printed up by Dover Paperbacks, and PRS used to have copies before they decided that they're only going to carry things that make money because you have to be a business, right? That's what I was told. Interesting. His book is entitled, From Point to Line to Plane. A point that moves is a line, and the horizon in which the line occurs is a plane. So that geometry finds its limits, its ceiling, its basement, when you get to the plane. hence plane geometry. And to lift off the plane, you have to go to trigonometry, which means that you have to then have functions and relations and all kinds of things occur, like wave functions and so forth. It's interesting. We don't even get into recursive functions and things yet, but all of these things occur. They become quite real. When you have a plane, the point is no longer just a point, your beginning point. Thoreau is no longer just the beginning, but evokes, in this trigonometric sphere, evokes his complement so that the point becomes a synthesizing axis. And the best way that human beings have always expressed this is that you have a pole between two points. And you don't mean just the two points, but you mean the whole pole. Whenever you have a sphere, a dynamic rotating sphere, you have a synthesizing axis. There are three axes, and one of them is the synthesizing axis. The axis mundi, they said in the Renaissance. The pole of the world. What is the pole of the world? It isn't the geographic pole, the north and south pole. That's for novices. It's the magnetic pole. Because the magnetic field will be the largest true resonance of that trigonometry. That man has a magnetic field that's generated just by that. Our polar axis is when we bring a sixth book into play. In our case, the double helix. So the double helix, the sixth book, has a relationship to Thoreau. They together form a synthesizing axis through a sphere made by the Tao of Physics, the I Ching, origins, and galaxies. Don't let the ingeniousness of it detract from the profundity. This is a lesson in the trigonometry of civilization. Once you then can conceive of Thoreau and the double helix as being two poles on a synthesizing axis, a synthesizing idea, you have come a long, long, long way towards being able to glimpse wholeness in a completely new way, a way which has never been seen expressively in our time. The last time anybody could see this comprehensively was a brief flash about 500 years ago in the Renaissance. The Florentine Academy up at the Via Correggio, for about a generation or so, was just a brief flash of this kind of insight, and very soon it was lost in the melee of power struggles. But we can glimpse it again. But this time, 500 years later, we can glimpse it in a much more comprehensive way. Because if we can see that Thoreau, standing in the woods surveying snowstorms, is related to Watson and Crick, standing in the laboratories arguing about the structure of life and seeing that it was in fact a double helix. It's like the old Hermetic infinity sign put into its dynamis, into its energeia. A double helix is the dynamic form of the infinity sign. And you can see that a very, very real manifestation has happened in our time. Whether or not it can enter into civilization and at the same time enter into an amplified humanity is the question at issue. And like I say, we have about a generation to see if we can do this. And progressively after that, it becomes problematical. And who knows how long it might take. Sometimes these hiatuses, like in the Chinese case, last 1,000 years until some outside group comes in. which is, of course, what the expectation is for people who have a lack of courage. They think, well, the UFOs will come and save us. Mm-hmm. The alien. Well, we may not be desirable to be saved if we can't do it ourselves. Let's put it that way. It's that kind of an issue. Now notice that the six books that we have in our nature sequence form a pattern together. It is a 21st century version of the six forms that the ancient Chinese would have in their primordial forms of jade. That sheet that we handed out, and when our copier is fixed, we'll make more copies of all of this. All right, now we're at the point to where you can look at the nature page, and you can see in the nature page of our pamphlet, of our handout, that the so-called textbooks are not just textbooks. We're not dealing with grade school stuff at all. We're not even dealing with university. We're way beyond those levels. We're light years beyond what a contemporary university might think of as a course. There's a quantum jump between us and them. What we're doing could not be approximated by their methods at all. One has to make a Kierkegaardian leap of faith to get to where we are, because the chasm is indefinite at that time, at the time of recognition. But notice here also, there are other structures that subconsciously are at play here. Not only is there a six-part form here, but up at the top we have something else. We have an ongoing example of a continuity. In other words, the thread that's stringing these beads together. You can't have a necklace without the thread also. So these six textbooks together are the beads, but the thread is one of these two books, the seventh book, either the Odyssey or Moby Dick. And the Odyssey and Moby Dick are operating as a synthesizing thread that's going to link these six together. Not only these six into a form together, but link these six as a form with another six as another form, and another six, and another six, till we have a whole quaternary. Four sixes, 24, linked by one synthesizing thread. And it takes us a whole year to do this, because it's like in this summer camp of the spirit, this little weaving project takes that long. You know, they used to make these little bracelets out of weaving plastic strips together. Well, we're doing that only with our psychic energy and using examples from world civilization, so that when we get through with this first year, we will have woven a bracelet of a planetary culture for ourselves with our own experience. And once you've done this, because it's evocative of something deep in you, you will always be able to do this. It's like once you learn to ride a bicycle, it doesn't matter how many years go by, you can learn to ride the bicycle again just by picking it up. You'll remember. This is the old Socratic notion of education. Once you're acquainted again with the way it works, you remember exactly how to do that, and you never lose that capacity again. As long as you're alive in this life, this will be indelibly there for you as a large-scale synthesizing pattern technique, a symbolic vision without being a member of any cult or any particular religion or any particular political persuasion or whatever it is, just as a functioning spiritual being. you'll have the feel, the grasp of how to integrate on a very large scale. I mean a very large scale. This is a large scale. And the whole second year is making conscious what we have done. And it takes a whole year to make that, to kind of remind ourselves, well, look at what this means. What then can we do? To rephrase the Tolstoyan question, what must we do? What can we do? And of course, the final decision is up to you. I mean, what you do with it is your business. In my experience, when human beings come to their spiritual realization, nobody has to tell them what's right. They find ways to even do the right in impossible situations. Now, next week I'm going to talk about galaxies and the Tao of physics as resonances of man, the two books together, the two supposed disciplines, nuclear physics and galactic astronomy, how they go together. How do they go together? They go together because they are held together in a single sphere of experience, and the synthesizing axis of that sphere of experience is the idea of cosmology. The idea of cosmology. And the most powerful synthesizing idea of the 20th century is not Marxism or capitalism, but cosmology. That is the most powerful idea in our time. And the linking of nuclear physics and extragalactic astronomy together in the mind of a fulfilled human being is the archetype of the true man in our time. Can that be done? It most certainly can be done. You'll find a kind of a mythological illustration of this in a kind of a, old-fashioned metaphorical way in Mr. Hall's big book, you know, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. There's a plate in there dealing with the Kabbalah and the Zohar, and it has a huge, enormous figure of a person standing with the planets and everything around his waist. That's an image, a very accurate image, incidentally, of what is happening here. Just don't try to figure out what's happening in terms of that image. It's just an image. But it's a very accurate and very good image of what is happening here. What is happening? That a cosmic man is being born. But don't mistake that for some kind of a reoccurrence of some kind of pattern that once had great efficacy in a certain mode. History doesn't repeat itself. The repetition, the seeming repetition, is another turn on a spiral, and it's a different energy. Once it was great to make houses for God out of stone. It was fantastic that human beings could do that. And 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, it was, you could stand on the plains of Wiltshire and just feel great. The wind in your hair and the monument up. But there came a time when those houses of stone were not proper anymore, and they had to be houses of the heart. Well, even that time is long since developed. And the house of the divine has to be something else now. There's a different architecture. But we still have to know how it was done before and why, and be able to do that, to turn around in ourselves and be astonished by what's true now, what's real now, and get to work. Because there's plenty of work to go around. More next week. Thank you.